City Investing Show. This is show number 12 with your hosts, Aaron Beal and Jason Lee, where we talk about everything real estate investing in San Antonio. Today looks a little different. It's actually a solo show. So going to give some updates on, you know, some questions and just, you know, stuff we've talked about in the past, but mainly going to spend the majority of our time talking about just my kind of process of how I quit my job, coming up on 5 years. So I quit, I believe, in April or maybe May of 2019. And I get a lot of questions on that. So I haven't really thought about that or told that story in a while. So I figured I would just kind of, you know, dive deep into that. Jason, if you're listening to this, is on Monday in Boston running the Boston Marathon. So go visit him on Instagram. I'm sure there's plenty of posts and stuff about that. Pretty cool. And yeah, we're both just kind of right now, we're kind of revamping some content stuff. So, you know, we'd love to interact with you guys there. I'm at aaron.beal. He's at investor Jason Lee. And it's trying to give really actionable advice and also some more kind of behind the scenes, real life scenarios and just keep things fun. So we're putting a lot of effort into that. So love to interact with you guys there. But before we get into kind of me talking about my journey of quitting my job and, you know, maybe, you know, if you're in a similar situation, you know, should you quit your job? Should you keep your job? All of those things. Because I think we run across a lot of people in this space, you know, kind of battling with that. You know, some people want to buy rentals here and there and, you know, love their job and want to work there forever. And I think a lot of people are kind of wrestling with this, like, do I go do this like now? Do I go all in on this? What does that look like? But before I jump into that, so I've had some questions and, you know, people reach out, you know, either asking for follow-ups or just some more detail on, you know, things we've talked about in the past. So always encourage that. So if you guys have questions or have topics you want us to talk about, shoot me or Jason a DM. Like, we, our goal with this is, you know, one, I mean, to be a complete open book, but also just add a ton of value. And, you know, the more specific we can be to, you know, answer people's questions, we'd love to do that. And if you have the question, someone else probably has it too, right? So the first one, we talked about a deal, shoot, it was probably a month or so ago now, about, you know, this whole ordeal with, we bought this house in the sun, had a meth problem, and, you know, it was this whole like showdown ordeal thing, and he got arrested and all this stuff. I had someone DM me, they're like, we need an update on this. Like, what's going on with the meth house? So actually, that is one we assigned to someone we actually met on Instagram, want to do our kind of first time flipper program. So we assigned it to him and, you know, have been moving through that process. But with that one kind of being a little messier, actually, I guess we sold it to him. We didn't assign it. With the whole situation, we just ended up buying it because we wanted to make sure that he wasn't dealing with an eviction and the potential, you know, kicking out the son with the meth problem and all that stuff. So we owned it for like maybe a week or two and then sold it to him. He's now in the process of renovating it. And honestly, they're probably like a week or so out. He's like moving along really well. A lot of times when we, you know, sell people these projects and kind of help them with their flips, I feel like they go better than our own projects go, which I'm always a little jealous of. But no, so he's rocking and rolling on that. And the, I believe the son got arrested. And then that same time we got a call because they said that we were maybe involved in some crime. We tried to call back the county sheriff and just never, you know, never got any answers. So I don't really know what happened with that. So we never really had any other issues, surprisingly, which is a, you know, a good thing. And he's rocking and rolling on that flip. They're, you know, about to the point where they're going to blue tape it. And we've actually been pretty hands off. He's really taken ownership of the whole thing and, you know, done a really good job. But I will jump into one thing. So in just an area with that of where I think we provide some kind of unique value is, you know, picking out finishes, where to source things, what to buy, you know, how much things should cost, all of that. Because we were talking to him and he's like, you know, I bought this, you know, this mirror at Home Depot and it was $120. And it's like, cool, you're probably getting on Amazon for $60. So a lot of stuff like that. But then We also, so he had shower glass installed in the master bathroom, right? So, and one thing I like to do, which I think is kind of a, you know, pro tip with showers, is if you can buy the shower glass ahead of time and, you know, just build the shower to make sure it fits it, you can save a whole lot of money as opposed to getting custom shower glass, which we found out the hard way. But, you know, it's a difference in, you know, $400 or $500 if you order the pre-made stuff, and probably $1,500 to $2,000 if you're doing custom. So not insignificant. So we kind of showed him what we would use there, and then he ended up getting just whatever they had in stock at Home Depot or Lowe's, and it was nice, but just really ugly. It was like frosted glass with like a cross on it that looked very grandma-y. I don't know. It didn't fit the space at all. But, you know, that's somewhere where we can jump in and say, hey, man, like, I know this is installed and this sucks, but, like, you really need to change it. Which I was unsure of how that would went, but he took it super well. But, yes, I mean, that's the thing of, like, I think sometimes if you don't know, if you're not around that stuff, you're like, whatever, it's just a shower glass. But it completely, like, changed the whole look of the bathroom. And it hid the tile that actually looked really good. So, just a quick, you know, thing from that we've, you know, an area where we're able to jump in and add value. And yeah, looking forward to seeing this project get done, and hopefully it sells quick. It's a, you know, nice little house in Spring Branch, kind of right on the Comal and Blanco border. But yeah, so that's the update on the whole meth house situation. We, yeah, luckily have not really had any issues, which I wish that was always the case. And then the other question I got is, so last week we did an episode just kind of with a big overview of wholesaling. I had someone reach out to me and say, hey, like, what is the, like, how, like, what's the paperwork involved? Like, what does it actually look like to buy a wholesale deal? And I think a lot of times I forget that we can talk about things as they're, you know, very common to us. And we can overlook some of the, you know, simple details. But the reality is, so there's kind of two ways that happens. They essentially function the same. It's just slightly different. So generally, you're going to use an assignment of contract, right? So for instance, I found a seller. They're going to sell me their house for $100,000. I have a contract between me and the seller for $100,000. If I decide, instead of buying it myself, that I want to wholesale that or assign that to someone, I am using an assignment form, which is normally like a short 1 or 2 page deal that I'm pretty much selling my rights to buy the house to someone else. So, you know, hey, I was going to buy it for 100. You're going to buy it for 110. You know, for $10,000, I'm assigning you my rights to the house and giving you the opportunity to buy it. And then the way that looks is the seller signs at closing, the new buyer signs at closing. We get paid the 10 grand in the middle. So that's probably the most common way you're going to see that is with an assignment contract. And you're essentially just, if you're doing that, you always want to make sure you get the entire original contract, because you're agreeing to take it over. So you want to know what you're agreeing to. So that's a big thing there. And then the other way that that can work is, you know, a double close, or kind of like a simultaneous close. So, you know, I would contract with the seller, and then I would contract separately with the new buyer, and those closings would all happen the same day. I'm essentially selling it as soon as I buy it. And then that way you actually own it, but, you know, it's, I'd say, a little cleaner. I mean, you don't have to worry so much about, you know, could this go wrong with the assignment, or what if this person finds out I'm making a fee, or all of those things. Our general practice is, if, you know, if it's over probably 15 grand and we don't know the people, you know, we'll double close it. If it's over probably like 30 or 40 grand, we're double closing it regardless, just because it's not worth the potential risk there, even if we, you know, are completely comfortable with people buying it. So that's how we kind of approach it. Everyone's going to do that a little bit differently. You know, people will assign stuff for, you know, six figures or $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. To us, it's not worth that risk on a larger assignment fee like that. So that is, you know, just kind of the paperwork that goes with that. So if you guys have questions or need more details on stuff, like, we love answering this stuff. So hit us up anytime, or if, you know, it's a longer topic that you want us to talk about on here, we're glad to, you know, we're glad to do that. Yeah, I hope that is helpful. So wanted to dive in and kind of talk about my journey of quitting my job, which I'm coming up on my 5-year quitiversary, which is always kind of a weird, kind of nostalgic time for me. Cause it's one of those things that both simultaneously feels like it just happened and, you know, happened forever ago. But yeah, so if you don't know but much about me or my story, so I, you know, grew up in Ohio, went to school in Kentucky, and then after, or I guess I was, as I was finishing grad school, moved to San Antonio for an internship with Valero. So interned there summer of 2013, had never been to Texas before, like literally like until the day I drove down here to work here, never been here. And then, you know, finishing my last 12 hours of my master's degree that summer while, you know, interning. So pretty much once the summer ended, I would, you know, would have finished my master's, would have finished the internship and needed a job. So worked in San Antonio from May till, I guess, I don't know, September or so, completed my master's, and then eventually took a full-time job with Valero. And my background is environmental health and safety. So, you know, kind of like OSHA-E type stuff, pretty much the people everyone hates on a job site. But yeah, so I interned at the corporate office here, graduated, had a master's degree, took a full-time job, which unfortunately was not in San Antonio. So Valero is a big refining company. So I went to work at their biggest refinery, which is in Southeast Texas, Port Arthur, Texas. I lived in Beaumont. Hopefully you don't know about either of those places. They're not exciting. There's literally nothing there that's fun. There's just a bunch of plants and oil and gas, and it's like swampy, and there's like alligators, and it's super humid all the time. Yeah, so lived there for a while. And, you know, as several people would say, you know, it's a great place to be from. Or someone once told me it has everything you need, but nothing you want. And I would agree with both of those statements. So went to work there in, you know, end of 2013, worked there for about 2 years. And, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. It was a good job. It paid well, whatever. And eventually, you know, I just worked a lot. Like, it was a huge plant. We always had shutdowns. I was always, you know, working 12-hour shifts and night shifts and all this stuff, which is not super fun when you're salary, but it was one of those things that was always like, cool, you're getting really good experience. Like, you know, you're going to be a manager in the future. Yay. Right. So, but I was like all in on this, like, hey, like work my ass off, climb the corporate ladder, do that whole thing. And then it just became a thing of like, it's a very old school industry. No matter how good I was or how hard I worked or, you know, how much expertise or experience I had, it was always a, like, you're not old enough and like you don't have 5 years of experience or 10 years or whatever that looks like, even if you have, you know, the work experience to kind of back that up. But anyway, so I eventually was like, hey, I want a promotion. I also kind of went out of Southeast Texas, started applying for jobs, got a job in San Antonio, similar company doing something different, but kind of the same thing, right? So worked for Tesoro, which no longer exists and is now Marathon. Yeah, worked there in kind of a corporate role in 2015. And then, you know, was there till 2019. And then eventually quit to do this whole real estate thing. But when I took the job in San Antonio, one, honestly, I was just glad to be in a city, be around, you know, more people and like somewhere that's more desirable than Southeast Texas. And it was this like fun new opportunity, kind of this smaller company, not small, but like from what I came from, it was small. And then, you know, it was this whole thing of like, hey, you know, you're part of this like growing culture. And I was in this, you know, kind of corporate support role that was going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I was going to be able to have a lot of impact on stuff. And then a lot of that just kind of quickly changed. And they were just, it just kind of quickly became more of the same, right? Like when I first moved here, I loved my job, thought it was, you know, cool because I didn't have to work long hours or night shift or any of that. And then I traveled a lot because I worked, you know, on our kind of like pipeline division, which was kind of everywhere. Oddly enough, like Tesoro was based in San Antonio, had zero like assets or property in Texas. So everything was like kind of cool location. So I traveled a lot, you know, went to Alaska, I went to California, I went to Salt Lake City, Denver, North Dakota, New Mexico, wherever. Kind of like all places I'd never really been. So that was fun for a while. But then eventually just became more of the same, you know, more of, you know, me just working a lot and feeling like I had no control over anything. So and I think that was a thing that, like, honestly, the switch to Sora was probably really good for me, because I think a lot of the issues I had with my job, I thought were the job's fault, not my own. And then I think, you know, I eventually got to the point where, you know, I'm a few years in, it's kind of looking exactly the same as my old job of, hey, you're the young guy with a lot of potential, but like, you're not old enough yet. And that was always the story, right? Like, hey, you have degrees, certifications, like anything we could ask for, like you work hard, you're willing to do anything, but you're just not old enough, right? So it was always a thing of like, you know, you're not old enough for this role. You're not old enough to be a supervisor or manager or whatever. And then, so I think honestly, it was good for me to kind of get a new job and end up in the same position, right? Of, hey, you know, I thought this would fix it and it didn't. And then I think it just took me a while to realize like, hey, maybe this job isn't going anywhere, but maybe I'm just not made for this, right? Maybe I'm not wired for, you know, working for people where it's like, I'll absolutely work my ass off and then get to the end of the year and get a 3% raise and, you know, be told I did a good job. And then you're like, cool, well, what does it take to get promoted or raises or, you know, a better like performance rating? And it's like, well, we just don't really know. So that was kind of my experience there. And then every few years, so I worked for Tesoro for 5 years. And then the whole time I was there, I had 4 years. And then I had new bosses all the time because we were constantly like, they're constantly buying new companies, new assets. And every time, you know, they reorganize, a bunch of people get new titles, promotions, whatever. I get kind of kicked around to different groups all the time. And it was just this constant starting over of like, cool, like I know how my current manager works. I know what they like. I know, you know, they know how I work. And then you start over. And then with that, everything starts over with, you know, potential raises or promotions because, you know, they don't know you yet and you're the brand new guy and, you know, they're going to stick to the people they know. So eventually that just kind of got to me, right? So, and then, you know, there were some bad work situations too. I had a manager I was really good friends with who became my manager and, you know, pretty much stopped talking to me and went from being like one of my closer friends in San Antonio to like, hey, I want absolutely nothing to do with you because you work for me, which was odd. And so there were a lot of just strange dynamics. And it was eventually, you know, it's funny because I look back at it now and I'm like, if everything would have went the way I wanted, like I probably would still be there, right? And I'd probably still be working a job I don't like. And it would have just taken me longer. So I look back now, I'm kind of grateful for some of the people in the situations and all of that, just because if I would have gotten what I thought I wanted, I'd be in a job I hate still, right? Even if it, and I eventually reached this point where I kind of realized that. I'm like, cool, everyone's saying, hey, you're going to be this director or whatever in X number of years. And I'm like, okay, double or triple my salary, you know, if I'm making 250 to 300 grand a year, that still doesn't seem very fulfilling. It seems kind of miserable. So, and then I just got to the point where I absolutely like hated my job, like dreaded it, can't sleep on Mondays, had started kind of having panic attacks at work, and it just wasn't fun, right? And then, you know, had some other boss situations that I won't get into, but, you know, just weren't great. So that kind of coincided with me learning about real estate, me kind of getting this idea of, you know, what if I bought like I always tell people I thought I like created this and then I heard it was like a thing. But I just had this idea of like, what if I just bought a house a year? And then every house, every year, buy a new house, move, keep it as a rental. You know, in 10 years, I'll have 10 houses. Like, that seems pretty cool. And had like no basis for like anything, like other than like, if I can afford the payment, if I can get someone to rent it and it pay for itself or almost pay for itself, like that's fine. So I was kind of like what I thought created this in my head and then was introduced to Bigger Pockets and just became that dude who was absolutely obsessed with everything real estate. I would like just wait for that Thursday episode to come out. And then like every week I would have like a new big plan of, you know, how it's going to take over the world. And then that all kind of coincided with, you know, just job not getting better, you know, another bad supervisor situation, being bought out and, you know, new companies like laying people off and not telling them. My former boss, I witnessed them like literally tap him on the shoulder mid breakfast one morning and lay him off. And his half eaten breakfast sat at his desk for like a week. I don't know. It was just this thing of like, I was just like, I got to get out of here. And then, you know, I also like, that just kind of made me think a lot of like growing up. Like my dad, you know, he worked for this uranium enrichment plant in Southern Ohio. And it was this thing that I always, I guess growing up, I always thought it was normal of, you know, every time there would be any sort of like, you know, people changing office or any of that, you know, a lot of it's government funded work. So every few years, his plant was always having layoffs. And it was always this like, hey, dad might get laid off this year. Like, what do things look like for our family if like dad doesn't have a job? Which now I realize is not super normal. And it wasn't like we were raised fine. Like my parents are great. They work really hard. They provide for us super well. Like our lives were not hard. But it was always that conversation of like, hey, if dad gets laid off, like, you know, maybe we don't get to go on vacation this year. Like maybe we have to eat out less, or, you know, it wasn't anything crazy, but it was always this kind of looming thing. And then, you know, as I thought about that, it was, I guess I just hate the idea of not controlling my own destiny. And the fact that where I've seen, you know, other friends get laid off or fired or whatever. And it's like, hey, you think you have this really secure job and it can change in an instant. So all of these thoughts are kind of like in my head of like real estate, hate my job, hate that, like, you know, I've seen the dude who hired me just get freaking tapped on the shoulder and laid off, and like kind of wanting, I guess, more control over all of that. So, you know, along those lines, I decided at some point, like, cool, I'm going to buy an investment property, bought a rental with some friends. It was fine. Wasn't a home run. Wasn't even a like great partnership. I mean, they're good friends. We're still friends, but it didn't make any sense, you know? So did that. And then eventually just decided like, hey, I want to quit my job. I want to figure out this real estate thing and go all in on it. And I thought I had a plan that didn't. So yes, we get to 2019, I start getting my real estate license because I'm like, cool, I'm going to get my license. I'm going to, you know, learn how to be an investor. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I thought like I had it all planned out. I was waiting for my last bonus at my job and I was going to quit after that. And then I made it very, probably a little too obvious that like, I would kind of joke at work about getting laid off. Like, hey, if you guys need someone, like, you know, take me. Turns out people don't love those jokes. And the person that wants to get laid off never gets laid off. But anyway, so yeah, that kind of in, you know, March of 2019, you know, our bonuses came out pretty much as soon as that hit the bank account. I gave my 2 weeks notice, thought I had a plan, didn't really have a plan, burnt a whole lot of freaking bridges on my way out, which some may advise against. But, you know, I think my plan from day one was like, I'm never coming back here. And, you know, I think I was just over the whole corporate environment where like you're not allowed to ever have an opinion. You're not allowed to push back, which was always a struggle for me in general, because it's like, And people would either love it or hate it, because I would, you know, I like to think I'm decently intelligent. But there's so much of like, hey, we don't like want you to be like smart or right. We just want you to agree with us. And I don't do that super well, which in those environments, you have people that like love you for that or absolutely hate you. There's not really any in between. You know, some people like that you're willing to be in a meeting with a VP and push back. Some people will completely, you know, kind of blacklist you for that. So that was always me in corporate world of, hey, I'm not just going to agree with you because like I'm lower on the totem pole. So yeah. So when I left, I let a lot of people know what I think, and right or wrong, whatever. Anyway, so I quit my job, right? And by that whole process, I was like getting my license. I worked for this broker that was like what I thought I wanted and it wasn't. And I was like leaving work to like try to like go to these trainings, and it would be like, hey, make a vision board. And we would all like pass around magazines and like cut out pictures of Ferraris and be like, I want a Ferrari. And I'm like, this is not teaching me how to be a real estate agent. So did that for a while. Honestly, my first like 6 months to a year of like quitting my job, it was like, what the fuck am I doing? And then eventually figured that out a little bit. Maybe one day I'll fully figure that out. But yeah, so then I connected with a broker who focused on investments, right? So, and you know, Seth with Somos, freaking great, like have nothing but positive things about being there. So, you know, went there and kind of learned the whole off-market side, did retail stuff for a while, which I learned that I hate. And I also had like zero structure or boundaries with any of this. I was just like, I'll just do anything. I just need to make money. And, you know, it took a while. It took a while for that to take off. And I didn't really have a plan. I mean, I had a few rentals. I had, you know, some Airbnbs. I had some money coming in. I went through this phase where I did cars on Turo, which I would never recommend. I was just kind of doing whatever to make money and not ever have to go work for someone again. So, you know, that took some time. You know, worked for this broker that, you know, bought and sold investment properties, did wholesaling, did flipping, all of those things. Learned a lot there and made really good connections. You know, if, you know, who to use for lending, who to use for title, all of these things. But it was a thing of, and then, so then I did the retail thing for a while. And I remember it was like June. I went to the beach with my family. I had been like a month and I'm like not made any money, right? Which is a very big difference when you're in a salaried role where honestly no one, I mean, some people work. There's a lot of people who don't do anything, but you still get a paycheck. And it doesn't matter because my $120,000 salary doesn't impact the freaking bottom line of the company at all. So no one really cares if I do anything. And I could literally go weeks or months without doing a thing and it didn't matter. That all changes when you quit your job. Very different. So I remember it was June. We're at the beach with my family and I, you know, sold my first house to someone. They found me on BiggerPockets and it was like the easiest transaction ever that shouldn't have been. And, you know, made like $5,000 or $6,000. It was amazing. Probably the best client you could ever have. Lisa, if you're listening to this, you're awesome. But anyway, so that was kind of the start. And then it was just this constant, like did some off-market deals the way it worked there. Like we got a split if we bought it and then we got a split if we sold it. So it was a thing of I started doing these deals, but I didn't ever know where they're going to come from. So, you know, eventually each one I did, we made more money and I get, you know, 20 to 50% of that. And eventually decided, hey, I think I can figure out how to get these on my own, do my own marketing, kind of do this as my own company and then get 100% of the deal. And then that's eventually grown into where I'm at today. You know, Jason kind of joined partway through and, you know, we buy quite a few houses, which is crazy because like if there's a point where I'm like, if I could do like 1 to 2 deals consistently a month, like that'd be amazing. And now we do consistently over 10 a month. So it's kind of wild just to see some of that growth and, you know, things change in ways you don't think they could. But back to the quitting my job, do I regret it? What would I have done differently? Which is funny because the hard part about quitting your job is, at least for me, all the things I hated, I immediately missed. I hated like having to go to an office. I hated the structure. I hated all of that. Once I quit, I was like, man, I'm tired of working in coffee shops. I'm tired of working at home. I just want to go to an office. I just want the structure. I want the consistency. I want to get paid every other Friday, regardless of what I do. So it's funny, the things you, or at least for me, the things I thought I hated were the things I came to like miss the most. And then I feel like the longer you go, that pendulum kind of swings a little bit to the point where you're like, I could never work for someone. And it's a thing of like, once you've, you know, done that deal that is more than your previous monthly pay or, you know, quarterly pay or annual pay or any of those things, it's a thing you just can't unsee. And then right now it's like, I can never go back to working for someone because I've been away from it so long. But it's definitely a shift. But I always tell people now, I'm like, don't quit your job unless you hate it. For me, I don't really regret it. Like I was really miserable. It was not good for me. So I don't regret it. But looking back, I could have probably not worked at that job for a year. It would have taken them a year to fire me. Like I could have had that salary. I could have rode that out for at least a year, probably two. You know, I could have better set myself up for, you know, getting more loans and mortgages with a normal salary and lower rates. I could have had healthcare, normal healthcare for a lot longer. So all of these things, you know, are the big things you got to think about when you're wanting to transition from working for someone in a W-2 to working for yourself. And I think for me, looking back at it, I'm like, I wish I would have probably kept some of this stuff longer. Like, I wish I would have had more consistent income before I just quit. Like, cool, I made it work. It's not ideal. So those are the things I would probably do different. I always tell people now, I'm like, hang on to your job as long as you can, unless it's one, making you miserable, or two, keeping you from making money. So if it's at the point where it's hindering you from making more money, quit. If it's making you absolutely miserable, quit. Other than that, like, I would say hang on as long as you can until you reach that point where you're like, cool, I don't need this anymore. I think that's a lot smarter way to do it. The way I'm wired isn't really like that, though. Like, I can't kind of be halfway in on something. So I don't know that I would have been able to make that work that way. So that's, you know, kind of my, you know, story on that. And then, you know, for me, it was never, hey, I'll go back if this doesn't work. It was very much of the mindset of once I'm gone, I'm gone. Like, I'm like, I, you know, had certifications that I let expire, you know, that I would have to completely redo and retake and all this stuff. Stop continuing education, stop like all that stuff. Like literally just completely quit. It's funny because there's something recently I needed my college transcript for. And I'm like, I don't even know if I have that anymore. Or like my diploma. I don't even know where that is or how to get this. Just because I'm so far removed from that. But, you know, it's definitely, I don't know. I think it's a thing of like, you gotta figure out where you are, where you're going, and, you know, figure out what works for you. But I always tell people, I'm like, hang on to your job as long as you can until it holds you back. But yeah, that's, you know, kind of the story of how I went from corporate world to, you know, working for myself. And then, you know, I've just built over time. You know, my first year I did, you know, three deals when working for someone else, then I did 17, then I did 45, and then something, and then 100 plus, right? So it's just been a gradual thing over time, you know, that we've built, and you know, it's a lot of fun, and life looks a lot different than it did when I moved to Texas, which I'm grateful for. Yeah, so that's all I have for you guys this week. Hopefully this is interesting, entertaining. If you have questions for me, hit me up. If you have future topics you'd like for us to talk about, we're always open to that. If you can give us a like, share this with someone, give us a follow on Instagram, both at our Alamo City Investing Show page and our personals at Mine is at aaron.beal. Jason is at investor Jason Lee. And that's all we got. And we will see y'all next week.